This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church, located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
Today's psalm describes those who cherish God and find joy as they follow God's instructions. Let us read responsively Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns from the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing.
Our gospel reading today from Luke 14, verse 1, and then verses 7 through 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to share a meal in the home of one of the leaders of the Pharisees, they were watching him closely. But when Jesus noticed how the guests sought out the best seats at the table, he told them a parable. When someone invites you to a wedding celebration, don't take your seat in the place of honor. Someone more highly regarded than you could have been invited by your host. The host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give up your seat to this other person." And embarrassed, you will take your seat in the least important place. Instead, when you receive an invitation, go and sit in the least important place. When your host approaches you, he will say, "Friend, move up here to a better seat." Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. All who lift themselves up will be brought low, and those who make themselves low will be lifted up. Then Jesus said to the person who had invited them, "When you host a lunch or dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers and sisters, your relatives, or rich neighbors. If you do, they will invite you in return, and that will be your reward. Instead, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, crippled, lame, blind, and you will be blessed because they can't repay you. Instead, you will be repaid when the just are resurrected." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Do you want to hold Jesus? Would you like to? No, okay. So, do you know what these are? What these are made out of? These are pottery. They're made from clay. Now, have you ever made stuff with clay before at school? Okay, so, yeah. That can be hard because when you make things with clay, you make the little guy, the sculpture, or you make the pot or the plate or the vase, and then It's a long process. So when I was in fifth grade, we had pottery in art class. And it's a long process because you make your pot, and then it has to sit there for like 2 weeks to dry. And sometimes the handle break falls off while it's drying. And then the art teacher has to take the pot and the pottery and the sculptures to a special oven called a kiln, and they put it in this super hot oven. And sometimes if there's air bubbles, it explodes, or the head falls off your sculpture, or bad things happen. And if you, the paints, when you put paints on a pot, they look really boring when you put them on the pot. It's only when they go in the oven do you get all the brilliant colors. And you,
it's made out of glass sometimes.
Yeah, the glazes are made out of sand, out of glass. And so you have this glass thing, and you don't really know what it's going to look like till it comes out of the oven. So the whole process, and then they have to take it from the kiln back to school. So the whole process can take a month. So when I was in fifth grade, we had pottery class, and I made a pot. And then a month later, the art teacher brought the pots, and she had one that was particularly beautiful. And I said, oh, that's my pot. The most beautiful pot. I made that pot. I told everyone, that's my pot. Yep, see this beautiful thing? I made it. Well, in our class, when you make pottery, did you put your name on the bottom?
You did?
Okay, so we put our names on the bottom. And the teacher had said, look at this beautiful pot. This is how we want our pots to turn out. And I said, yep, that's my pot. And we turned it upside down. It was my friend Debbie's pot. Yeah. Oh, it was not my pot. My pot had turned out very funny looking, and it was lumpy and not very pretty. But my friend Debbie, she got to stand up in front of class. Well, everyone said this is her pot that she made. So sometimes it's better not. Yeah. To wait until the art teacher says, look, here's Debbie's pot. Then for me, for you to say, ah, that's mine. I'm the best. Yep, yep, that's me.
It was so sad.
Well, it wasn't sad for Debbie, was it? And Debbie didn't say, Katie, I think you're wrong. I think that's my pot. She just waited for the teacher to say, and here is Debbie's pot. So that's sort of about the scripture today.
Weird pot.
Yeah, well, sometimes you like a weird pot, but my pot wasn't that pretty, and it wasn't even interesting. It was just sort of lumpy looking.
Character.
I guess it had character. So, at any rate, so our little prayer for today is, you know, maybe we should wait. So, oh God, thank you for all the things that we can make that are beautiful, and help us remember that maybe we should wait until we see the name on the bottom. Thank you so much. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for calling us to be your children, for calling us to be your people. May the words that I speak, all that we hear, all that we do, may it bring glory to your name. Amen. So today we're second in the series on the kingdom of God. For the next several Sundays, we'll be talking about different aspects of God's kingdom and what it means to live in God's kingdom. Today, it's a kingdom seating chart. We all want to sit right here next to Jesus, don't we? Front row. Most regular churchgoers, we've got our little preferred spot to sit, our pew. I've heard some people, you know, talk about the fact that, you know, the roof is leaking right where so-and-so sits. Or, you know, I notice that the sound isn't very good or that the sunlight is shining in right where so-and-so sits in their pew. Did you happen to notice who sat over in so-and-so's pew? I didn't get a chance to meet them after worship, and they looked really familiar. We reference our space in the sanctuary by where all of you sit. And then occasionally, you kind of mix it up and change it up and mess things up. That's good. Keep doing that. Years ago, when I was first in ministry, early in my ordained ministry life, I was in a situation where somebody was in that particular pew. They came into worship, and there's this young family that's sitting there in their pew. Looked at them and just kind of stood there awkwardly and then sat down just ahead of them. And I was up front kind of watching this all play out, thinking, okay, that was a little odd what just happened there. And then we went through communion, and as we finished up with communion, I started hearing from some of the other people. I became oblivious to everything else that had played out, but apparently this person had gone back and sat where this young family who'd come in first time in worship, and they sat in their pew. How dare you sit in my pew? And so the young family comes back, and fortunately the pew right behind that was still open, so they could go in there and kind of reach over the pew and grab all of their items that they had left sitting in what they thought was their pew out of this other gentleman's pew. We got talking about that afterwards, and the family understood human nature and realized, okay, there's something to this, and they became good friends with this gentleman, and found out there was a lifetime of memories there in that pew. And after being alone for a week, Sunday mornings was a time of sitting in that pew where so many memories of worshiping together with his family. Kids who had moved away and wife who had passed away. He was reconnecting with them and reconnecting with all of those important memories. This young family kind of felt a little guilty about interrupting all of that. But God used that as a way to bring them together, to be able to give him another little adopted family. Sometimes we put a little bit too much emphasis on our spot. And I think so many times we look at pews and things like that, and we don't really look at them as a place of honor. It's, you know, not so much as if, oh, sitting up in the front pew is the place of honor, the pew of honor that you want to be closest to the pastor. No, obviously not. You want to be closest to the cross, closest to the communion table. Maybe the back pew is a place of honor, closest to fellowship time afterwards, closest to the bathrooms. There are all sorts of different reasons why different pews might be considered a place of honor, but not really a place of honor. It's not like going to a banquet, a large community gathering, where all sorts of important people are going to be, and, oh, you know, if I sit here next to this person, I'm going to look important. Or to sit at the head table at a wedding. Sometimes when I've officiated weddings, they've asked me, hey, would you and your wife like to sit here at the head table? No. That's not for me. That's not our place that time. That's for you. But there are those times that we start looking for a place of honor. And in our world today, maybe a part of that is taking selfies. That, you know, oh, I can get a selfie with so-and-so, some important figure in our life. And that becomes kind of that place of honor, as the banquets were in Jesus' day. Now, I have to admit, and maybe it's more of a confession, that sometimes even pastors fall into this. I was talking several years back with Pastor Large Green Bay Church, where many of the Packer players worship, and asked him about, you know, how does that work? You know, with all of the publicity and everything, he said they have to work very hard and be very intentional to remind everyone on a regular basis. They're just everyday people. They're here to worship. Treat them like everyday people. Wow, that's cool. That's neat. And then one day, as we finished up a family vacation and I didn't have to preach on a Sunday, we said, hey, let's go to this larger church down in Green Bay and nobody's going to know us. We can go in, worship, leave. Went there, and I have to confess, you know, it was a really cool feeling to say, ooh, I'm following that gray platinum F-150 driven by Jordy Nelson into the church parking lot. And here Jordy's walking in with his family, and we walk in behind Jordy. And yeah, that felt cool. But yet, after that fact, I realized, you know, there in that space, in that worship space, the great Jordy Nelson and me were equal. We were both sinners in need of a Savior, worshiping God. God saw us as equals. Probably the only time in my life that I'll ever be on that same level as Jordy Nelson. But that is what it means to be in God's presence and to worship God. Now, hopefully, you know, maybe none of us, maybe we don't, you know, get in those moments where we want to push somebody out of our pew. I mean, hey, if somebody wants to sit up here, great. I got plenty of room down here. Maybe we don't look for a place of honor when we come to worship. But yet, what does it mean to be sitting in a place of honor before God? In the first half of today's text, we're presented with what probably was considered common knowledge. Jesus shares this parable with the guests at this large banquet. And he tells them, don't go and take the place of honor, because then you're going to be embarrassed when you get booted back and there's somebody of a higher status who gets invited to sit in your seat. You're going to end up like the great late Bob Uecker. Oh, must be in the front row. And then at the end of the commercial, he's way up there in the bleachers. We don't want to be embarrassed like that. I'm thinking most everybody around was like, ah, that makes sense. Yeah, we realize that. Maybe there were a couple of people that went, oh, yeah. Maybe there was somebody there that Jesus was speaking directly to. But then in the second half of it, Jesus talks to the host. He says, when you throw a banquet, don't invite your friends, your brothers and sisters, your relatives, your rich neighbors. I can imagine Jesus kind of going around a U-shaped table where they were all gathered and naming all of these people who were seated in places of honor. And Jesus and his disciples and the other lower folks of the status were all around. He says, no, instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. And he was probably pointing to those who were all around Jesus. To live that kingdom life, to throw a party and hold a banquet and invite the outsiders, the outcasts, the marginalized of our society. That's not the norm, quote unquote, from a worldly perspective. We're used to inviting the who's who, the influential people, the people who have money. Maybe there's been a time in your life when you were throwing a birthday party for your kids and you thought, oh, you know what? We're going to maybe invite so-and-so to come because they've got a really nice house, a pool, or a cottage on the lake with a boat, and then maybe our kid will get invited over to their party. And then your spouse is probably like, really? No, that's not why we're doing it. Oh, okay. That's our human tendency, is to try to figure out, what can I get out of this? When we throw fundraiser banquets for organizations, we try to invite people who have a passion for whatever that cause is and who have some sort of means, whether it's other connections or finances or whatever it might be, to help support that organization. And there is a useful aspect for that, but when it comes to worship and being the church, we're to be completely opposite of that. That's where Jesus turns everything upside down. What if we, as a church, were to throw a party and primarily invite people who otherwise wouldn't get to share the experience that we were offering in that? We see stories of this sort of thing, of ways of living out the kingdom all the time. Maybe we don't put those words to it. We've seen stories of people who take out disadvantaged kids, special needs youth, out on the water fishing. They've got a nice boat. Maybe they're a professional fisherman. Maybe they're a wannabe professional fisherman. They take some kids out and see the joy on their face. Maybe pilots taking some handicapped youth out for a flight. For the first time in their life, they're able to look down on people rather than being looked down upon. Maybe it's some of those simple things that so many of you do. Volunteering with Sleep in Heavenly Peace to provide beds so that kids don't have to be sleeping on the floor. Bringing in school supplies so that kids have the basic necessities to be able to learn, to grow into healthy adults. Maybe it's providing food through loaves and fishes, broken bread, serving food at the homeless shelter in the winter. On and on. There are so many of these ways in which we connect with the community. We throw a banquet, even if it's just for a moment. And maybe it doesn't fit in that category of a banquet like we might think of, with a large banquet hall and a magnificent feast of food. And yet, for someone who has nothing, a simple sandwich and some fresh fruit is a great spread of a banquet table. We're called to bless what we would call the outcasts, marginalized of society. We're called to support and encourage those who may never be able to offer anything in return. You see, when we reach out to those who can offer something back, invite us to their party, we're just treating them like a commodity, a thing. And it's not about relationships. It's not about kingdom building. Today, I'm preaching to a whole bunch of honored guests. You each have an honored seat. You're considered children of the King. According to the kingdom seating chart, it's only because of this empty cross that you've been invited to sit in a seat of honor at a great banquet table. The banquet table that is yet to come. What are we to do in return for that invitation? There's nothing we can do. We have nothing that we can offer back to God except ourselves, our lives, and the way we live out our life. We can't throw a bigger party than what God is going to be throwing. We can't outdo God. We can't die on the cross for others. But yet we can sit right next to Jesus. We've been invited to take that seat of honor. Who are you going to invite to your next party? How are you going to make everyone feel welcome? How are you going to choose who gets to sit in what might be considered a place of honor? You can invite others to God's party. Whether it's joining here in this space or rejoining a faith family that they've walked away from, that they've been separated from. You can invite others. You can invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. We are all those people in one way or another. You can add a chair or two to the table at fellowship time. Invite someone to sit down and get to know them. How might the kingdom seating chart change the way that we view places of honor in this world and change our view of who is deserving being invited to the greatest banquet ever? May we learn that kingdom seating chart. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years and under.